This episode is sponsored by Visible. Visible is a wireless company that believes you should only need you to save. No families or roommates, just you and your wireless plan. With Visible, you get unlimited data for just $30 a month, taxes and fees included. It's their best rate all on a one-line plan. Switch today at Visible.com and get $20 off your first month when you use the code SPOTIFY20. New activation and offer code required. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Offer ends March 31st.
This episode is brought to you by Sambazon. Acai is a powerful purple berry that tastes like blueberries and dark chocolate. For real. And you can get your fill with Sambazon. Their acai packs make rich, delicious smoothies. And no blender? No problem. Sambazon's ready-to-eat acai bowls are a convenient option for families on the go. So go ahead. Enjoy the delicious powers of Sambazon acai. To find a store near you, visit sambazon.com.
Yo. What's going on, guys? Yo, Garden Report.
What's up, fellas?
John, just take a huge bite of something right before we go live. Nice, dude.
Crunch.
And that's live.
That's a Jimmy. That's a Jimmy Toscano thing to do. To be honest with you,
no, it's a John Zanis thing to do. We got Sherrod coming to us live from the club.
We got Jimmy right bottle caps over here.
I actually am upset. I don't have a drink with me tonight. So
Jimmy bottle caps.
Tim will rest easy tonight. There will be no bottle caps spinning.
Yes. Celtics
will rest easy tonight too.
We rested easy. None of us watched any of the last three
and
quarters.
The Nets will rest in peace.
Yeah. And
they got murdered.
Oh, that's tough. It's been a hard day for many of us, Jimmy Toscano especially, who spent most of the day crying in his pillow.
Talk about this. I was late for work today.
Because of the Tom Brady news, but we were able to pull it together, you know, be men, show up, watch this game, and here to bring you some analysis of a game. I don't know what to say about it, Sherrod. I'll start with you. I mean,
why'd you do it, Tom?
It was over. It was over. I know you didn't have to, Tom. It was over in like 6 minutes.
If that, and you're being generous and giving him 6 minutes.
It's incredible. It was over in 5 or 6 minutes.
The basket that told me that this was a wrap when Jaylen Brown comes down, does a behind the back crossover, step back, three pointer in front of Kyrie. And I'm like, he just Kyrie. It's going to be that kind of game.
The Celtics,
Never got any better. It never got any better for Brooklyn at that point.
The best thing about it, the Celtics started the game on a 14-3 run. And Brooklyn called timeout, okay? And coming off that timeout, the Celtics went on a 13-1 run. And that was it, 27-4.
Adjustments.
Lights out.
And Joe Mazzulla is thinking, see, this is why I don't do that. This is why. Damn it. Get off my back about timeouts.
If you hit a little bit of traffic coming in this game tonight, like you sat down in your seat and the game was essentially over. Like you missed.
You just might have thought about going back home. If you were on your way here and you got here, you were on track to get here near the end of the first quarter, you might not have got to the arena.
Just keep going.
Just keep going. Just hit the left, then another left, then another left, and head back home.
Yeah.
It's one of those games, but it's nice to be on the right side of it, I guess. You know, it could be a lot worse, I guess, if you did go to the game. You didn't want to show up down 26-4 or whatever it was. So. That was just a ridiculous first quarter. I mean, even the broadcasters were straight up laughing about it. The Celtics literally could not miss three-pointers in that first quarter, whether it was Tatum or Brown. Guy set the tone early on, and then John and Sherrod, you guys could have subbed in there in the second half, and I think they would have pulled this one off. But the role players, you know, did what they needed to do to keep that lead. It's not crazy to blow a 20-point lead in the NBA. So you got to give the Celtics credit for just building it and just keeping their foot on these guys' chest. Now, the Nets didn't have Durant. You know, obviously we have to mention that. That's I guess not even worth mentioning.
But we didn't have Smart. That.
Right.
That's fair, right, guys?
Point being, they don't have enough No Simmons to laugh at.
I'm sorry, but you should not. I don't care who you're missing. At some point, pride has to kick in, and that pride must have just not got off the bus when they pulled up the TD guard because you do not get your ass kicked like this regardless of who you have on the floor. They didn't compete. I didn't think the Celtics played a great game. They just made open shots.
I mean, they played with pace, which is good. They made all their shots.
There was nothing special or significant what they did. They made all their shots. There was nothing that – this wasn't like they played with great effort and they were doing all these amazing things. They just played their game. Just played their game.
Yeah.
Make miss league. Almost 58% from the field? Yeah. I mean, geez, almost 50% from three, and that's a 54 mix. I mean, they almost had an NBA record for three-pointers tonight. I mean, that's how often the shots were falling tonight. So, this is one of those – this was like – I think Bobby texted it. It's reminiscent of, like, the start of the year when they were just blowing teams out and falling for them. I'm not saying that here they are again, but it was a nice break from some of the games you've seen recently when they've been extremely cold. So it's good. You know, take it. Coming in, good to get a couple of big wins headed into the All-Star break. You want to go into that break on the right note, certainly. You don't want to be going in. And also with the trade deadline coming up here, you know, there's a lot of guys, that I'm sure are checking the sports ticker, if that still exists, and on Twitter. Yeah. Looking for their names in the rumor mills. So it's good if they can focus on just winning games right now.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. And again, here everyone's going to pile on me for putting it out there, but I'm coming off of what Sherrod said. They didn't do anything special. I do think they played with more pace and energy. I think the 3 days off showed. I think there was jump in their step. I think their defense was actually really, really, really tough. And it's almost that the combination was ridiculous. They were playing really good D and forcing the Nets into not great shots in that first quarter. And they hit freaking everything. And that's why the game was literally over in 5 minutes. So they brought energy early. But again, shots falling is great. Dirk put it in the chat here, like, hey, when we make threes, we're unbeatable, or they're unbeatable. But that's the problem, is it's an almost dead split. First half of the season made a ridiculous amount of threes. Second 25 games or so, awful from three, like bottom three or four in the league. So again, you see them doing what they did tonight, and it looks like early in the season, like, they can do no wrong, man. They just friggin' work and get good shots, and they're just killing people. And to have a night like this makes you feel good again. But how sustainable is it? In the live by the three, die by the three sort of thing, because they have not been living by the three, at least not doing great with it.
No, they haven't. I mean, this was just a smart play game by the Celtics. They didn't do it. They didn't try to do anything fancy. They didn't try to do anything that was outside of who they are. And the result is an easy-ass win. And Brooklyn put up no fight. That was the thing that surprised me.
Not at all. No resistance. Yeah.
No, and that's surprising. I mean, because that seems to be the one difference between Jock Vaughn coach Brooklyn team and the Steve Nash coach team. It was surprising and in many respects disappointing, because I was hoping this would be a little bit more competitive than this. I mean, the outcome is what I expected, but not this decisive.
Yeah. The one play that stood out to me, and I can't remember when it was, might have been early in the third quarter. And again, the game's already over, somewhere in the third, where there was a tipped ball and it goes into the backcourt and Brogdon goes back to collect it. And he jogs past half court with the 10 seconds left to go in the shot clock. And then he just kind of keeps going in a straight line, walks all the way into the lane and hits a floater. And nobody got in his way. Like, at that point, you got the guys on the ropes, put some pressure on them, crossing half court, get them out of their rhythm, make them take a difficult shot. They literally allowed Brogdon to walk back almost all the way to his own basket and then just jog in and just shoot a little floater uncontested, and not one person ever closed on him. Just emblematic of how little effort Brooklyn put into this game. And again, they really obviously had all of their, their spirit, and all of their, kind of will snapped in the first 6 minutes there. I mean, you go down 30 in the first quarter, that's it. Game, set, match. So, I mean, but there wasn't much resistance at any point in time from them. No fight at all.
And what surprised me was it wasn't Tatum and Brown that were taking advantage of that. It was guys like Malcolm. It was guys like Derek White who got an inbound and just dribbled the ball up nonchalantly. No one picked him up at all. And next thing you know, he's got an open dunk.
That should never happen. What's funny is it looked like whatever defensive presence existed was so worried about the lob to Rob on that play that they just played off of White. And you're right. He kept going and he's like, so I'm dunking this. And he just walked right down the middle of the floor in a straight line. He didn't even zing at any point. He literally just went in a straight line and just dunked it on the whole Nets team. It's so bizarre.
You never see that from a role player. It's one thing if LeBron does that or KD does that or, you know, Kawhi Leonard or Tatum, whoever. But no disrespect to Derek White, but he shouldn't be having that kind of open lane at any point in a game. And yet it was that kind of night for the Celtics where they got anything and everything they wanted. And again, they didn't have a lot of heat checks either, which I was surprised at. There were a couple, but for the most part, they played within the offense and just got whatever they wanted and made Brooklyn pay over and over and over again.
Sorry, lost my mic for a second. You got me? For fans, that's fun. It's fun beating Brooklyn. It's fun beating Kyrie. I think is it 10-0 since the logo stomp? I forget what it is. You know, whatever it is, it's people are enjoying it. It's a good bounce back again. You know what the best part about tonight is? The Lakers game was still not great. Not perfect, still a sloppy game, but a good gutsy kind of win. Coming off of a 3-game losing streak, this was, again, a lot has to do with the shots going down, but this was they finally played well. You gotta get those back under your belt, right? They just won 9 in a row. They went on a little skid. Lakers game wasn't perfect either, but they won. It's nice to get one where it'd be like, yep, this is what we do here. And it was good. And you could tell it felt like a, you know, setting a tone sort of early game. Like I said, you could see the jump in their step early on. So it felt like there was a little bit of purpose here.
Yeah. And I was expecting a lot more from Kyrie Irving, who, you know, he's been in what I would call contract Kyrie Irving lately. Ever since he came back from all the off the court stuff, he's been really, really good. And they've been really, really successful. And there was just Kyrie, I thought, in many ways set the tone as far as fight is concerned. He didn't look aggressive. He didn't look assertive. He looked like, you know, just kind of going through the motions out there. And with no Kevin Durant around, it's like, what the hell are you doing if that's how you're approaching this game? Because this was a big game for Brooklyn. They could have really made a statement. Even if they didn't win, if they're competitive, that I think is something that would have bode well for a lot of their role players going forward. But Kyrie, he set the tone by just being real, just kind of lethargic out there.
Yeah, you could see it. It almost had the vibe of like second night of a back-to-back sort of game. I'll launch a few, and if they're going in, great. If not, well, not our night. But like, that's kind of the worry with Brooklyn here without and again, Kyrie didn't have a terrible night. He just wasn't assertive. I mean, Kyrie Irving was a minus 30 in 10 minutes in the first quarter, you know, on his own. And again, that's just how bad that was.
How do you do that?
If you're the best player on the court and you're a minus 30 in a single quarter, yeah, you probably needed to do a little bit more, you know, minus 30 when the first quarter ended. I couldn't freaking believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole team must have been floating around minus 30.
Most were, but he played the most minutes, so he friggin' wore the 30 around his neck, you know?
Don't put this on Royce O'Neal. Don't put this on Claxton. Don't put this on Joe Harris.
He couldn't do enough. Kyrie didn't have enough to carry the team tonight. I mean, 20 points isn't going to cut it. I mean, 50 points wouldn't cut it tonight, but still, 20 points when, you know, clearly the number one option out there with guys being out is just not enough.
Kyrie didn't do enough to carry Kyrie tonight. Forget about the team. This wasn't even good enough for Kyrie. His numbers at the end of the day look good. But for those of us who have eyes, and Glenn's replenishment and watched his entire game, Kyrie was never actively engaged. This was game 5 Boston Celtics against the Milwaukee Bucks, Kyrie Irving. He's just out there running. He's not doing anything aggressive or assertive.
but that's cool because he's in, you know, he's still in the club, and he and Jalen, you know, they get their daps after the game, and everybody's cool, you know, and like, that's all right. I'll see you in Utah. All right, buddy, you know.
Yeah, yeah, all-stars.
All-stars, all-stars.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay when Tatum does that after a win. I hate when he does that after a loss. Like, just go, just leave the court. Leave the court. Don't be dapping up. You know, when they lost to the Heat, I couldn't stand that. I'm not gonna bring it up any further than that because it's old news now. But generally speaking, if you get worked or if you lose a game that you're supposed to win, don't be all lovey-dovey with the opponent right after the game in the middle of the court. At least make a, at least let us believe that there's a level of like unlikability between the two sides there. Just a minute.
Nah, they want to be liked. They want to be liked by Kyrie. You're never gonna turn down the Kyrie hug and the dap. There, it just is what it is, you know.
Kyrie, I'm just waiting for Kyrie. You know, Kyrie.
Players love post-game. Kyrie. Players love Kyrie.
I know, but you know, is Kyrie going to take credit for the Celtics win tonight? You know, like just those guys kind of put the game.
I can't wait for the Kyrie. I can't wait for the. Those guys have come such a long way.
Yeah.
I love it. He presides over the Celtics' success over them.
Every time they work him, he is something. He has to take a little bit more credit.
Always.
Did you guys see that behind the back step back three Jalen hit? Where do you think that came from?
Yeah.
It's good to see. It's good to see Jalen.
I'm so proud of their growth. Yeah. Exactly.
That's definitely coming. 100%.
That is. There was a good one of those in the last game too. I think. So again, good stuff here. We got Bobby and Josue also at the game. We'll get them to jump on and give their thoughts on what was obviously a super, super convincing Celtics win over Brooklyn and a nice get right game. Phoenix is coming in later. Last time they saw Phoenix, they were beating them by 50 points.
Phoenix without Booker though?
Phoenix without Booker. Celts have had a few of those. It's pretty good, you know. Two no Durants, you know.
I see Booker's coming back here soon, but it looks like he's going to dismiss the Celtics.
Not this one. They said maybe Brooklyn, which is who they play next, I think, after the Celtics, but I could be wrong. So so that's where we're at. One person worth talking about for multiple reasons, because he's always interesting, is Rob, who had a terrific stat line. Minutes were reduced because nobody played, which is great. I was begging for him on Twitter. I wanted to see him hit 20 because I wouldn't say he was looking for his offense, but a couple of times he did. One time he did get the ball in the block and he's like, I'm going to try and score now, which is something you never see. Most of it was on putbacks and really quick hands and just being able to snatch the ball there and go to work there on the offensive glass. You know, one alley-oop there. I still don't see him jumping as well as I want to see it. But he's so friggin' like his hands are so amazing. And he's just snatching balls out of nowhere. And he's so quick and he's quick to put it back up there that he had a really super effective night tonight. I still don't think he's got his superpowers at this time, which is still amazing because, again, I still think there's like 2 and 3 levels left in this guy. And he was still super impressive tonight.
I think you're right. I think he definitely has levels left that he can climb to. To me, the biggest and most obvious one is when he gets the ball on the block or at the elbow, don't just pass the ball. Actually, back somebody up and try to score. I think that's the next level for Rob.
He passed up a straight up 12-footer one time. And it was like,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, I need to see him take that shot. I don't care if he makes it. Take the damn shot so you can get better at it.
By Manning here. Wanted to take a second to tell you about betonline.ag, which remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs here in January to pro and college basketball rolling on, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code CLNS50. That's CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts.
Yeah. And that's, to me, I mean, it's apparent to me that it's a mentality thing. You know, this was a blowout game, so he's thinking, okay, I'll put a couple of shots up. You know, there's no risk in it. You know, I'm obviously not being relied on to, you know, score important baskets right now within a close game. So it's like, obviously he doesn't feel like he's part of the offense in a situation where it's a typical, I guess, running the typical offense in a close game, right? So I want to see him think more that way when it is close, or I want his teammates to think more that way when it's close, because, I mean, his field goal percentage is obviously high. You know, it's always going to be high. His field goals are within the cylinder practically. So we're begging for him to take some 12-footers, some 50-footers, you know, bring the shot back a little bit. I don't know if it has anything to do with Kevin Garnett maybe being in the building this week.
Oh, yeah, had to come back to that.
Something Garnett I've been clamoring for.
Everything. Yeah.
I said, you got to lock Garnett in a room or lock him in the gym with Rob for a few hours or a few days or weeks. And when he leaves, he's got a little bit of a jump shot. He's got that mentality where he's going to attack. He's going to score first, pass the ball, or just be a guy that's, you know, grabbing rebounds and blocking shots. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you have an offensive game. You can't be a zero out there. 7-8 from the field tonight. I want to see that stat line in a closer game.
I want to see, Jimmy, my thing, Jimmy, to what you're talking about with KG, I want to see that edge. I want to see that nasty.
Exactly.
The jump shot, I think that's going to come with time, but I need to see that nasty
mentality,
edge,
yeah.
Feistiness. I want to see him, and obviously you're not going to be KG, but you can be KG-like and just have a little bit more of an edge, a little bit more tangible fight to you, because Rob is an incredibly talented player, and I think we all agree that his best days are ahead of him in the NBA. Well, part of that needs to be finding that inner asshole, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see from him.
Yes. Yes.
That's the whole thing with KG. It's not just about jump shot. It's the attitude. It's the mentality. It's not just Rob. I want the whole team to – I think everybody should want their players to have the mentality that KG has, and I obviously don't expect that. But just being around a guy like that, it's contagious. So if one guy, and maybe it's Marcus Smart to an extent, if one guy kind of has that attitude and mentality and that grit and fight, that's contagious out there on the basketball court. So, yeah, I think Rob definitely could benefit from having a little bit more of that edge that you talk about. That's part of it for sure. And I think if he does develop something like that, that's going to lead to being more aggressive on offense and to be like more like FU mode, where I don't care. Like Rondo went into FU mode all the time. He didn't give a he didn't care at all if he missed five shots in a row. He was still going to take. He was still going to get his, and he was still going to take his. And that clicked for him. That's something that he played like his first couple of years in the league. But that eventually, as he got into the league longer and longer, he said, "Everyone else is shooting. Everyone else is getting theirs. I'm going to get mine." And that's how Rob has to feel too. Not to the detriment of the team, but he has to become a little bit more thinking, I can shoot, I can score, I can be aggressive, I can literally dunk on anybody. And that'll hopefully come in time.
I like it. I got more on Rob. Rob did a really really good interview. We have a couple of sound bites. I'm going to play those
Nice.
as soon as we get them in, Rob. And I love what Rob said. I love hearing this from him. So I want to play it. And I want you guys to hear it as well.
You love Rob.
I just love Rob in general. Before we get to that, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Again, one of our terrific sponsors, Athletic Greens. By this point, you guys know everything about it, but I'm going to tell you once again.
Yeah, we do.
This is something that we really believe in at the Garden Report here, and we all use and we all swear by, and we wouldn't say that if we didn't. So you got us. We're hooked. We're all AG1 addicts at this point. Great supplement. You take it at the beginning of the day. You don't have to go chasing a million different ones. Takes care of all of your health needs. Immune system, recovery, mental clarity, focus, gut health, everything you want in there. Go check it out. I love that word. Probiotics and adaptogens.
Probiotics,
oh my God.
Prebiotics.
Adaptogen, I feel like a transformer. I'm an adaptogen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I adapt.
Decepticons and adaptogens.
That's literally it. Become
but
Bionic.
Go get some. It fits with any diet. It has virtually no sugar. You can go get it. To make it easy, as always, they're going to give you a gift. We're going to give you a gift. That's how we do. Athleticgreens.com/garden, free 1-year supply of vitamin D, 5 free travel packs, your first purchase. That's what they give you. We give you a phenomenal t-shirt. If you fill out the form we've put in the description of the show, anybody who supports any of our sponsors gets themselves a
phenomenal
t-shirt.
I'm taking my AG1 travel packs with me this weekend to the Pond Hockey Classic up at Lake Winnipesaukee.
Oh, you do this every year, huh?
Where it's going to be allegedly negative 30 degree real feel on Saturday morning when we will be playing in an open frozen lake. So you can imagine how much colder it will be with the wind whipping around. But I guarantee you the AG1 will give me that little extra pep. A little extra pep in my
You got to send some videos from that. This year,
if I can get my phone to work, it's probably gonna just die immediately as soon as I take it out of my pocket. I'm not looking forward to the weather, but the tournament every year is a blast, and hopefully we can get a couple wins out of it. Anyways, that's the goal. But AG1, popping a couple travel packets in my bag, and I'll be on my way.
Goes great with a couple of pies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A couple of Giuseppe's pies up there, Meredith, New Hampshire.
Oh, is that your thing?
Well, yeah, they're pizza pies. Giuseppe's.
Oh, pizza pies.
You didn't specify.
That's fine. Some people have to buy pie. Some people just make them. That's cool. Yeah. You do you.
Well, I'm on vacation, John, so everything's being made for me.
I love that hockey tournament. I think that's an awesome thing.
It's a blast, except it's all the weather dependent. So when you get some screwy weather, it can put a wrench in things. But everyone has a good time regardless. It's a guy's
weekend. I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be doing it this year.
You're right. I actually just bought one of those stupid looking like head face complete. You're not gonna even know it's me.
That's fine. I'm disappearing for 10 seconds. Just a couple. Just getting a charger. Okay. You guys carry. You carry.
Wait.
I'll be right back.
He'll be back, Jimmy. I promise. He'll be back. I promise. Back.
John, you would think at this point John would know to charge his computer like during the show, not wait for it to die. But that's okay. Year four or season four of this, we'll get there at some point.
Yeah, but you know, kind of getting back to the game though. I mean, we've talked a lot about Rob, and Rob was amazing, but. The thing that I love about him, and I think most of us are like this, is that as good as he is and as much as he makes a difference for this team, it's clear he can get so much better. And that's the scariest part about Rob, is that the only thing that I feel can keep him from being a really, really high-level impact player in this league is health. That's literally the only thing that has slowed him down in his career up to this point. Because the talent has gotten better from one year to the next. Not like Jaylen Brown continued growth, but definitely there's been a consistent growth in Rob's game from each of his years to the next one.
Well, that's what we've mentioned this on the show before, and on like frustrating nights with Rob, where we're just like, so is this just who Rob is going to be forever? Like, is he just going to always be dealing with like the next injury or pain or recovery? And he's just, we're always going to be talking about, oh, we saw a glimpse of what we think he can be someday. You know, and I mean, I hope not, but we're in what year of this now? 4? And, man, one thing after another, it seems. So you got to hope, fingers crossed that, you know, there aren't any more setbacks here and there's not any more dings that he ends up with. Obviously he's playing center. It's a physical position and, you know, you're leaving your feet a lot. You know, who knows what's going to happen when you land sometimes. I'm not expecting him to never land on the injury report again. But you would just like this guy to get into a groove. I feel like he's probably been in one groove, one serious groove over his career. It hasn't been this year, obviously. And I think it was to an extent last year is when that was. He started flying around and the Celtics were playing extremely connected. And then he went down, obviously, with the knee. And since then, it's been a lot of touch and go. So you just wanted to, and I understand why the team is being, you know, maybe overly cautious with it. And I don't know if that's something he mentioned tonight, John. I was cruising Twitter for a second, and I think he did talk about, you know, just health and things like that. So I don't want to misquote him or anything like that. But you hopefully we'll get those videos up in a bit. But if he can just stay healthy, you're right, Sherrod. I mean, there's no telling how much better he can get. I mean, I don't blame him for second guessing things out there, you know, because he's probably thinking about not wanting to get hurt before he's thinking about pulling up for the shot. So he's got to think less about, you know, his health and more about just improving day in and day out, which, like you said, on the macro scale, he is. But when you look at it from a game to game, sometimes it's hard to see because it's so like minuscule. Like even the minutes, like sometimes they're barely ticking up, or the field goals. Tonight's a different story, but sometimes he might shoot the ball twice or something like that. Yeah. And you're just like, man, like, is this what we can expect or is there more to come?
Yes. So here is, he was asked a couple questions. No, he was asked a couple questions. One was on the jumpers. The other was on his ceiling. Here's what he had to say about his ceiling. I love this answer, by the way.
How much more of a ceiling do you think you have?
You know, I feel like the ceiling for me is no ceiling. You know what I'm saying? Especially with the teammates that I have. You know, through my injuries this year, they really helped me. You know, just stand in my air, stand on my side, and going back to the jump hooks or the little jump shots. You know, they encourage it. You know, they encourage me to be who I am.
The ceiling is there is no ceiling. Okay, there is no spoon. Yes, mind blowing.
Whoa.
Stuff from Rob. Yeah. Yes, I like it. Because you're talking
ceiling
about
Lord.
You're talking about snarl. I don't know how much snarl he'll play with or how much of an a-hole he'll be, but the confidence, you want to see him be confident. Part of it is just go, man. Like,
right.
I don't think, again, I make the there is no spoon because I've always made the Neo comps with Rob. You know, you see him start to do stuff and it's, you know, he's beginning to believe, you know, like he's starting to get it. And like, I don't think I hope he's healthy for long enough to realize that he's got the special gifts that he's using like 5 to 10% of. And if somehow he just unleashes it onto the world, he can do like, you keep waiting 1 year where Rob's going to show up and all of a sudden be like the best player in the, like it just on it, like three levels up. It's possible. You just haven't seen it. You're seeing incremental. You might even say a step back a little bit this year from where he was last year pre-injury. So that's what's frustrating when Jimmy was saying earlier, you know, you want to keep seeing it because you want to see how close can he get to it. But the injuries and the setbacks and the no offseason and the no development and all of that stuff, you know, keeps him from getting there. And he's getting further along in his career. And, you know, you're worried about that knee and could it flare up with arthritic conditions and how many years does he have left? So you kind of want to see him get there. And every little bit, even a night like this where he starts to consider scoring a little bit more, mm-hmm. isn't afraid to maybe tee it up, you know, make a post move, shoot a jumper. That's part of it. That's part of kind of unlocking some of that potential.
Yeah. And again, it's even though obviously him and Jason Tatum are very different players, they're going to have very different roles on this team. When you think about Tatum and how he kind of gradually showed us glimpses of being a really great player, it took him 3-4 years before you felt that he's kind of got it figured out who he's going to be. He's not there yet, but he's getting pretty damn close to getting there, and he knows he's got the confidence to get there. I think we're starting to see a little bit more of that from Rob, the confidence to go out there and just be a badass. Not there yet, but he's clearly starting to figure that out a little bit more. And comments like the one he made tonight about just, I don't got a ceiling. When I look up, I see sky. I don't see walls. I don't see any limitations. I see nothing but room to grow. That is what you want from a guy like Rob.
Yeah, it's good to hear it. Let's see it. You know, if there's no
you wanna
ceiling,
see, yeah, right.
Let's see it.
Then what the hell are you waiting for? Jump up.
Yeah. Seriously. So, yeah. I mean, but that, yeah, that's what you want to hear. Absolutely. Yeah. So again, if he gets the opportunity, you know, if his health stays where it needs to be and that opportunity is there, you know, if that's how he feels, then his preparation should allow that success to come. That's really all it comes down to.
They talked about it a bit on the broadcast and Doris was talking about it.
She loves Rob.
Huh?
She loves Rob.
Doris might love Rob as much as I love Rob. It's pretty close.
And that love is both publicly and if you talk to her, like when the camera's off, that the love is real.
Yeah.
The love is real.
I remember a couple of years ago where she's like, I literally can't take my eyes off him. Like he right. just, he's in there for 10 minutes and he does five of the most amazing things you're going to see all game. Yeah. And I was like, yes, that's what I said. That's what I've been saying. You know, but talking about how Joe was talking about how he can be such a facilitator and, you know, just, you know, having that big man that can get you into your offense and help you do things and makes everyone better. And it's, again, sometimes Rob's impact isn't even something that you can fully see, but all of a sudden you see the numbers and they're like, they're plus blank with him on and whatever off and the offensive rating with him on versus off. And it's strange for a person you view as a non-offensive player, person who makes his bones primarily on defense, less so this year, you know, than the last couple. But he can do so many things and he is such an adept passer and the ball doesn't stick in his hands and he's quick to move it. And he has really excellent instincts and really great vision and quick hands and keeps the ball alive on the boards, whether he's getting rebounds or tapping to someone else. So many things happen when he's out there. And that's with him again, I believe playing at not 100%, of whatever his physical, capabilities are. So it's, again, it's always heartening to see it. But as Jimmy said, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's see the next one. Right. And then the next one. I mean, and then the next one. Yeah.
There's levels. There's levels to this, Rob.
And they need him to do that because of the way that they utilize Al Horford, who's that big facilitator. When they've got Al out there being a catch and shoot guy, you still need someone around the basket who can help facilitate other than, you know, Tatum and Brown who are looking to drive to the basket. Rob is a perfect complement to what those guys like to do because of one, his ability to get guys the ball, and two, he's not someone who's going to be demanding the ball. If you get him the ball, great. If you don't, he's not going to trip about that. It's rare that a guy has soft hands like him, the ability to finish as consistently as him, and doesn't really get caught up in wanting touches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's remarable. And again, I'm hearing from our producer out in the field, Amit, out there as well. Malcolm Brogdon kind of saying the same things. Rob, obviously, a big topic tonight among the reporters. And, you know, he got his podium slot.
Sidebar.
Which always, yeah.
Rob, well, sidebar.
You know, here's the thing. You see Tatum and Brown score 25 and 30 points all the time. You don't see Rob putting up 16. So it is, of the things happened tonight, one of the more noteworthy things. And I'm guessing there's going to be a series of sky's the limit ceiling article, Rob ceiling articles tomorrow. And justifiably, because again, that's that. I mean, what did Celtics fans say for the first 25 games of the season? Oh, my God, if they're playing like this now, just imagine what happens when Rob comes back, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some other things, shooting coming down to earth, other injuries, you know, beset by injuries to other players. Things didn't go as well. Plus, I think Rob's both conditioning, you know, trying to get himself back in, and Mazzulla trying to figure out how to do it. How to run the Rob show, you know, and they're still kind of figuring some of that stuff out, but it's almost perfect the way it plays, guys. And just in terms of you look at the arc of this season, you get out crazy hot early on doing a bunch of things, give yourself a shit ton of confidence. Then when you slump in that second part, you can say, okay, we came off of what we were doing well, but if we go back to it, we'll be okay. Plus we've had injuries. Plus we're figuring some stuff out. Our coach is figuring out rotations. We're figuring out how to play different types of styles and X, Y, and Z. And then you get into the last third of the season and everyone hopefully is back to full health and you've figured a lot of shit out. And then someone like Rob is playing his way back into the type of player, the type of condition that you think he needs to be in. This could be a peak at the right time sort of scenario with them where things start to really come together later, just the way things unfolded. But you're already, you've got the best record in the NBA now after not having really played well for a stretch of 25 or pretty inconsistently for this stretch of time. So it's pretty impressive. Josue Pavone, joining in as well. What's up, Josue?
What's going on, fellas? You know, I figured, or I assumed rather, that Kyrie would take a bit longer, but he just hit the podium. But it's all good. I'm with you guys. So we'll get some quotes soon. We got Bobby in there. But yeah, Jock Vaughn, I did sit in during his presser, and he took a lot of the blame. Took a lot of the blame starting the first quarter, said he didn't prepare his team enough, and especially for that onslaught throughout the first quarter that he says clearly snowballed. They never recovered from that. So he took most of the blame for this loss.
Not buying it.
Not one bit.
It's good coach, bad coach, right? Well, I feel like he's been good for him.
They didn't get their ass kicked because of his X's and O's. They got their ass kicked because, one, they played a team that's better than them. Two, they were shorthanded. And three, they didn't play with any effort. They didn't play with any pride. I don't care how badly you're being outplayed. Their effort was the biggest problem for them tonight. They just did not play hard.
Right.
And if you had to single out anyone, I would single out Kyrie. His individual numbers are great, but Kyrie didn't really do a whole lot to uplift the guys around him.
No.
That's partially on the coach, though, no? I mean, trying to get the guys ready for the game. If you show up there sleepwalking, I mean.
Totally. So. But coaches tend to, I always feel like, be a little bit nicer.
Extremist with that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. When their teams get absolutely wiped out, there's no reason to heap on top of it. They know they were down 40 in most of this game. They don't need to be told like they played like ass. They kind of know it. You almost feel like, I always find coaches go a little lighter in these sort of situations here. And it's just like, just toss it. Nah, on to the next one.
You're right, John. Especially new coaches that are in a good situation outside of what happened today, right? I mean, in terms of what he's done with this team as a whole, ever since Steve Nash was let go, he's done his best. He's done a good job. Obviously, not having Kevin Durant in this one mattered a lot. But yeah, I'm with you, Sherrod. The effort was terrible. I mean, they just don't have guys that can really score on their own outside of Kyrie and a couple of other guys, in which we knew that. But you figured you would see more team-oriented basketball, right? And I feel like a lot of the times, like you said, I mean, Kyrie was out to get his. But I feel like unless he ran into a wall in the paint, he threw it out to the corner to Joe Harris for a three or so. Outside of that, you didn't see a whole lot of playmaking out there for the Nets.
Yeah,
Jaylen Brown tweeted. What did he tweet? Energy shifter.
Everybody's, no, he didn't.
Everybody's freaking out. Yeah, he did.
Did he really? You're just saying that.
I'm not. When I make that up,
Jimmy, that's your Jimmy. I might be telling the truth. I might not be voice right there.
I am dead serious. I would not get your hopes up that high, man. I wouldn't do that to you.
Yeah, you would have let it go by now.
For as much
energy
as I really,
shifter.
For like as hard as I rolled my eyes at the last one, the energy did shift.
He wasn't wrong.
He wasn't wrong.
Maybe it was when he pulled that move on Kyrie.
He was right, but I was like, yeah, whatever.
Jaylen Brown, no.
like Jimmy's face after the Joe Mazzulla love you quote.
Okay.
Yeah. So wait, Josue, who were you talking to in the locker room? You got any insight or anything you want to add?
No, I mean, I was just in Jock Vaughn's presser, but I mean, the Nets, it's going to be Kyrie and then everyone else, it's going to be in the locker room. But no, I was waiting to see what Kyrie had to say about this, but I'm sure Bobby will jump in here soon. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like the Celtics, I knew they were due for a type of performance like this. I didn't think to this extent, but you know, in terms of like the offense clicking and them putting up, tacking on, you know, the one of those games, right? 19, 23 pointers, everyone sort of in flow. But the way they got out to that start, man, and you can talk about Brooklyn's effort, you can talk about what they were trying to do defensively, but they just didn't have an answer, and they never adjusted. They just kept trying to go with it and play themselves into the game. And I just feel like Jaylen Brown and Tatum were just taking turns, just dominating. I mean, look at their 3-point touch and the way they were attacking and getting in the paint and getting through. I mean, look, just look at the way Derek White got to the hoop on that layup in the first half. And I mean, I think that was like a testament to just how much effort they were putting on defense. And the Celtics just made them pay for it, man. This offense really got rolling in a way that we haven't seen in months.
Yeah. And the crazy part about this game is that Tatum, I thought, offensively played with a good level of aggression. And you know how many free throw attempts he got? Zero. And you know why? Because they never touched him.
Jaylen?
That's a testament for terrible defense right there.
Tatum, zero free throw attempts. Yeah. They never touched him. Never touched him.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Literally, the best player on their team does not get touched.
They didn't want
to. Because he took. I mean, both he and Jalen took almost all of their shots from three tonight.
Yeah, well, when they drove to the basket, that's your. They didn't drive to the basket a lot, but they drove enough to where someone should have been.
Jason Tatum was a freaking plus 46 in 29 minutes tonight. Jeez Louise,
is that good?
It's just banana land. The whole thing, just a silly game. We'll bring in Bobby and the gang is all here. What's up? What's up,
News
my dog?
Team assemble.
What we would like to know, what Jimmy Toscano would like to know, is how much credit for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum's performance did Kyrie Irving take tonight?
Oh, none. Pretty subdued Irving tonight, as he's been since the suspension.
Wow. He's not going to do it every time, John. Come on.
Well, we just thought that he would say, it's great to see these guys.
So
you
proud
know,
of those guys and their
proud
development.
Of what these guys have been able to do.
I mean, if someone set him up, I'm sure if there was a – Tatum question.
I know. Someone's got to bait him.
I remember these
Jimmy,
guys as young him. Pups.
Yeah. He kills it with kindness where people bait him.
Yeah, I need to show up to the next one.
He'll be back. He'll be back for one more time. I am interested. I'm going to let it settle a little bit, but what is this now? How many wins in a row for the Celtics versus them? 10? This is sort of how I predicted this feud ending, is that the Celtics, and I think we talked about this on the show probably last year, once they flipped the script on Brooklyn had their number for a while, 2021, early last year. Once the Celtics took superiority over them, this whole thing wasn't going to matter anymore. And did he get booed tonight? Yeah. And every time he touched the ball, you heard it. But there wasn't that atmosphere of disdain that you felt in the playoffs and in other settings against him through the past couple of years here. Because especially after you go up 30 in the first quarter, who cares? And that's sort of the mindset I think a lot of fans are taking on. I'd actually be interested to hear what people are thinking in the chat on this, because I feel like we're very close to this whole Kyrie thing coming to an end. I didn't feel like that vitriol in the crowd tonight that we had in other nights. And I think a big part of it is you're just so much better than this team now. They're not a threat, and he's such a distant memory at this point.
That's the thing.
It's not a fun.
Jimmy. I mean, yeah, keep going with that, Jimmy, because that's what I was about to get in. Go, keep going.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's not fun when you just, guys lying on the ground and you're still punching them. Like, that's not cool anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some fight back, and that's what the whole fun of a rivalry is. Like, that's why LeBron is booed as loud as he is everywhere he goes. It's not because everybody hates him, although a lot of people do. It's because he's still the best, and he still puts on a show, and he still gets under your skin, and he still is entertaining, and he's somebody that you want to watch regardless of what you think of him. He puts asses in the seats, and right now it's just not that with Kyrie and the Nets. I mean, if the Nets went on a hot streak and they made a little playoff run and the Celtics met the Nets in the playoffs, you're damn right it would be loud in the garden.
Yeah, you got KD out there. You got Simmons out there.
But, in a game like this, Bobby, when, Celtics go up 20, basically when the ball gets tipped. And that's kind of it at that point.
Yeah, there is no
edge. That's why it was so important for the Brooklyn Nets to get out to a better start than that, because they're fragile right now, right? Without Kevin Durant going up against the Celtics, I mean, I'm not sure they had enough firepower to begin with, right? But then you let them get off to this hot start. Tatum and Brown are crushing you. By halftime, it gets out to that big lead. I mean, I'm looking at Bobby like, how are they even going to put together a type of comeback when they can't even string together stops? They don't even have the effort. You know, they don't even have the culture, right? You saw the clear gap between the Brooklyn Nets and the Celtics. And I think we all sort of knew the extent of it without Kevin Durant. But I just expected I expected more of a fight from Brooklyn in this
one. Was there a chant at the end? We were going down.
There was. Bobby, I saw it all over Twitter, but it was. We didn't catch it, but we were heading back.
All right, Nick Burner alert.
Kyrie did this.
It's not the same, guys. It's not the same as you said.
For sure.
Yeah, it's not. Before
it was there, but it's not the same. Yeah,
when the Celtics were lower,
you're mad at him for leaving you and destroying the franchise, but then they turned it around. And then obviously last 2 years, again, there is no rivalry between the hammer and the nail. So, I mean, again, you can't beat a team 10 times and then, you know, care as much anymore. But I still caution. What's interesting here, most interesting about Kyrie and this whole situation is that, hey, thank you.
Thanks, Dimitri.
We love you too. Well, Joe, you gotta friggin' you gotta dog him like that after this kind of comment.
We call you Joe.
Hey, the coach name is Joe. All right, we gotta separate some people. You know,
the Joe, interesting our own thing Twitter to me, handle has Joe
bro,
in it.
Appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's a phonetic thing, you know. Anyways, John, carry on.
This team, which we thought. So here's the thing. Fine. You don't think they're challengers? I absolutely fully think. I don't know what happened to Bobby. I absolutely fully think.
See, Bobby hates that. He hates when people don't say Joe Sway. I don't. Yeah, it's all right, Bobby.
He hates it. I absolutely fully think that Brooklyn is and can be a good team, fully healthy. We have such selective memory during that stretch before Kevin Durant got hurt. They were the best team in basketball. I don't know how people forget this. He is one of the top three players on the planet. He's missing right now. He's vitally important. This team, they're shooting. They're one of the best shooting teams ever. It's a good team. Don't write them off completely for their flaws. We're so quick to look at those. I don't think they're dead and buried. We were dead wrong on one thing. This will be such a shit show with Simmons and Kyrie that it's just going to blow up. It's not going to blow up, actually. It's going to – not only that, Kyrie's probably going to re-sign here. And Simmons is never going to be the player anybody expected him to be. But he's going to be maybe useful, maybe not, doesn't matter. But this is what you got. He's not useless. So, yes, it's not a big three anymore. You take a big step back in talent from Harden. But this didn't get blown up as people thought it would. People thought this – entire thing, Durant get traded, Kyrie not re-signed, and this team going into the tank. None of that is happening. I actually think Kyrie re-signs here, and they play it out for the next few years and see what happens. So I definitely think we misread that. That was a slightly misread situation. I don't see this thing going to hell anymore. Maybe it does once Kyrie signs his extension. It gets a little bit of comfort, though. But this year, with him on best behavior and them playing like contenders when Durant is healthy, I think they run it back. And I think they're still going to be somebody you're not going to love to play in the playoffs if they're healthy.
That's the thing, John. That's their best option. I mean, that's the – like no one – expect. Well, maybe some people did, but –
But it didn't seem likely, right?
Right. Well, they didn't expect Durant to be –
What are you doing, Jimmy?
Yeah, Jimmy. It's
all blurry, dude. You're making
Valentine's hearts for the camera or something?
My camera is not focused on my face right
now. I literally had a countdown in my head. I was like, when's John going to lose it?
It's not at all distracting. So, yeah, go ahead.
Can you see how blurry my face is right now? My whole screen.
Yeah, but that's way less – that's less distracting than what you were just doing before.
It's distracting to me. Just go on. All right,
fix it.
I just think – If Durant's healthy, you get a better game. And I think if you're the Brooklyn Nets, they were thinking, okay, if Kevin Durant can help carry us and we can get the best out of Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving, we can get a full season out of him, we got a shot. We can get back into this thing. So obviously for Nets fans, they're going to wait to see what happens when Durant comes back. But in the meantime, I mean, these guys can really slip here if they're not careful enough. And obviously everyone's going to be keeping an eye on Durant's return. But, yeah, I'm with you, John. I just think – keeping Kyrie in Brooklyn is their best option. Keeping Kyrie with Durant, at least right now, is the best option for this year and next. But moving, you know, after that, we'll have to wait and see. But they don't have any other options right now. They really don't.
Someone explain this to me.
I don't know either. It sounds like it's a backhanded compliment. Maybe. I'll take it. Hey, I want to say this.
Way. Hold on. Well, let's make sure that this gets out here. Yeah. Spelled correctly. Lots of love. But there's tomatoes.
Appreciate you.
I think he's throwing tomatoes at Joe Sway. He doesn't agree with whatever you're saying.
He does not. Tomatoes.
So,
buddy.
With that.
I thought there were hearts, but my boomer eyes couldn't see them.
Yeah. How'd you miss that?
No, I did see there were tomatoes. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm a little surprised.
The guy who originally who got it wrong, he did say something. It's like,
yeah. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah. You know what, Joe Sway? Next time he says he loves us, he might just leave you out completely.
Jimmy, if someone called you Jim, you lose it.
That is kind of my name. I wouldn't lose it. I would say thank you for the love.
You would
if they said Jim, you suck, I'd say Jim's not even
You would question it.
Nice, Dave. You nailed that one.
Loved Dave, it.
The Nets look like the knots tonight. I think I used that joke a couple years ago.
I think you did.
You did, Jimmy. You did.
Yeah, that's something that I would say.
Yes.
Does Bobby work here, by the way?
Who?
No. Can I say one thing?
Who's Bobby?
Yes, go ahead.
Maybe he's got a one-on-one with
Kyrie. Hold on. Stop it. Jimmy Cam, go.
I'm blurry again. Can you believe
he's
this?
He's so insecure. He's so insecure right now. Don't do that to him.
As soon as he went big, it went blurry.
You see the look on his face? It's like a deer in a headlight.
Look at that. Okay. Oh, that's a
light bulb. Is that a light bulb?
That's a light bulb, yeah. I want to say this. John, I'm a little surprised that you're just assuming that the Nets are going to be fine and that they'll just re-sign Kyrie and they'll just be contenders for the next 3 years. This is a contract year for Kyrie.
I didn't say any of those things.
You basically did. He basically did.
You said that they would probably sign Kyrie. That's
they'll sign Kyrie,
and
I said it didn't blow apart this year. I didn't say contenders for 3 years. I said they'd be dangerous this year if fully healthy.
You're insinuating that they will be, though. Because you're saying they are now.
I don't insinuate. I just say it. I just say what I'm
You're saying they're contenders when
no.
right now with Durant with a healthy Durant, you were saying that they were contenders.
This year, yes.
Yeah, so Durant will come back as your audio gets screwed up because you can't figure out audio. So Durant comes back and Kyrie is still on the team.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know what the hell's going on. Oh, Dimitri.
Sorry, go ahead, Dimitri.
That's our guy. All money to him? Hell no. He ain't getting a cent.
No, no. That part's not happening, but I appreciate you doing that, man. Super chat. Thank you, man. Cent. Thank you, thank you.
John, it's a contract year. Sherrod's already talked about it. Kyrie's on his best behavior.
Yes.
As soon as he gets that deal, who's to say that he might not get bored of basketball again, or his priorities might go elsewhere, he might cause trouble? Who's to say that Durant even wants to stay on the team? The last offseason from him, he wanted to be traded. Just because, Kyrie's on his best behavior this year, all of a sudden that's going to change? I wouldn't say the future looks super bright for the Nets just because it hasn't blown up this year. You just talked about how Ben Simmons might just not be good at basketball ever again. So I don't think it's a great situation for this organization. Kyrie might resign because I think a lot of teams, even though he isn't causing any trouble right now, I think a lot of teams would still be pretty damn hesitant to give him a long-term big money deal because there's too many unknowns.
There are a lot of unknowns, but if you are a franchise that has not anything remotely close to talent comparable to Kyrie, you're going to take Kyrie because he's going to put folks in a stance. Kyrie is a good investment if you are a franchise that needs someone to put a brighter spotlight on your franchise than it has right now. And Brooklyn, let's be honest.
You don't have a lot to lose.
Can Brooklyn do better? Can Brooklyn do better? Can they get someone better than Kyrie? Or better fit than Kyrie? Maybe. Better player? I don't think so.
You don't think players want to play with Durant?
Are you talking about 2023 Durant? Or are you talking about 2015, 2016?
I'm talking about 2023 Durant. 2023 Durant is a top player in
the
NBA.
He knows Jimmy.
When he's healthy.
Talking about.
When he's healthy. When he's on the floor. You're absolutely right. He's that good. But when he's not healthy, then you become Kyrie. Got to carry this team.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
coming up on the Nets post game show.
Real quick though, I just feel like the between Kyrie and Durant, they just feel like they're like a few pieces away. Like it doesn't mean all stars. I just think that's their mindset. And if you're the Brooklyn organization, you're like, all right, well, let's run it back next year, at least one more year. Sign Kyrie to a 1 year and just try to keep doing that until you can form a squad around them. But it's gonna be harder than they think.
Well, I still think that the Celtics, the way they're constructed, are a better team. Even if the Celtics keep their core together for the next 2 or 3 years, and let's say Kyrie returns in Brooklyn for another 2 or 3 years, I still think the Celtics are better.
I agree.
And so you're Brooklyn, it's great for you, Brooklyn, but you're still not going to be the best team. And you start looking at other teams in the East, I don't know if Brooklyn is a top four, top five team in 2 or 3 years.
Probably not.
Even with Kyrie. So Brooklyn's got to make that decision. But the Celtics, I'm more concerned with them just continuing on the path they're on right now. They're making incredibly good, smart, true decisions. When you look at the Brogdon addition, you look at – I mean, and Gallinari obviously didn't work out because of injury. But the idea of having a player with that skill set was a great idea. Great idea. So I don't really give a damn, to be honest with you, what Brooklyn is doing and how they're going to do whatever with Kyrie. I'm more concerned with the Celtics because the Celtics are leading the pack and Brooklyn is playing catch up. But last time I checked, do you drive looking in the back in your rearview mirror? No, you glance at it every now and then.
It's merely pushback on these guys suck. I don't think they suck. The Celtics have their number, great, but they've faced them without Durant the last two times, and we've seen them play well this year. I'm not writing Brooklyn off this year. If you look around the East right now, who are you? I mean, I know Cleveland hasn't been a great matchup for them. Obviously, Philly is playing lights out, and right now, Philly, you'd have to say, is your biggest contender, but Milwaukee doesn't look like – I mean, they look like they might be sliding a little bit. I think Brooklyn's in that top four. In that top four conversation. That's all I'm saying. Wanted to switch gears back to Rob again, because this is just a Rob love fest coming out of post game. Jason Tatum just kind of heaped more praise on Rob.
We might get to that. Rob.
Huh? He loves him some Rob. No question about it. We also have, and let me see if I have this here queued up, Malcolm Brogdon.
By the way, John. Room. Five straight wins for your sliding Bucks. Five straight.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're sliding anywhere but into the first
place. And for you Bruins fans out there, no slide no more. Nice win over Toronto.
That was a big one.
So go Bees, go Bees. Love beating Toronto. Up in Toronto especially. Those guys are such friggin' dinks up there. Anyway.
Yeah, they are. F Canada.
They just hate the Bruins. Anyway, here's Malcolm Brogdon talking about Rob Williams tonight and his ceiling, which apparently, according to everyone, does not exist.
You know, I think when you have a guy with such great instincts, such great athleticism, and is so unselfish, I think he has a super high ceiling. And Rob's still young. I think he's trying to get just 100%. I'm not sure he's 100%. So his ceiling is, I'm not sure what his ceiling will look like.
Hey, cue up the classic Lil Wayne mixtape.
No ceiling.
Ain't going to be no ceiling.
What's ceiling?
No ceiling. What ceiling?
Danny's from Louisiana. That makes sense. I mean, we don't know where his ceiling is, so no ceiling. No ceiling, Rob. I like it.
But you know what it is? Every time you hear this stuff, like, we don't need to hear the Celtics tell us Rob has potential and a high ceiling or no ceiling and all of this stuff. What's interesting is how deeply they believe it. And you almost feel like by saying these sorts of things, they're almost trying to like urge him or will him out of whatever shell he still remains in, as I said, to fully realize his superpowers and kind of let it fly all at once. It's kind of like Rob can be whatever Rob wants to be. He just has to kind of do it. And I don't think they think he's slacking. I think they're just kind of saying, like, just go, man. You know, like, you be you. Right. I think when they give him the ball down low, they want him to try to score. I think they want him to assert himself.
I disagree.
More aggressive.
That's my big complaint, is that they're not. They're not looking for him enough.
Perhaps not in the game. I agree with you, Jimmy. But I do think when they see those moments, they're like, go for it. But you're right.
He needs to take it upon himself. Yeah, he's not. Yeah. When's the last time you saw Rob call for the ball?
Yeah, well, he's not going to post up.
He's not going to do that.
Yeah, he's not going to do that.
Rob can be president.
He's not going to do that. He's got no ceiling. No ceiling exists, but he's never going to call for the ball. What are we talking about then? He obviously has a ceiling.
I feel like they're trying a little more lately, and I agree with you, Jimmy. And it's
especially
been a
Tatum and Brown.
Source of frustration on the show. They're not looking for him in enough places. The coach might not be calling his number enough times. And you do just kind of get used to the, well, he'll be there to clean up our mess, or if he's there on a lob, I'll give it to him. And that's all you think of him as.
Or off a double.
But you're right.
They don't play off a double team, bounce pass in the paint. That's been the go-to lately. You know,
one single play a game, they don't play through Rob. So
I wish
if he has no ceiling, maybe look his way a little bit.
I wish they did. I mean, one of the things when I was in Detroit that Larry Brown, when he was coaching the team, used to do was on the very first possession, Ben Wallace would get the ball on a block and just go to work. make sure your big is happy. And right. And if he scores, great. And if he doesn't, then he doesn't. But you're making sure that you let him know in a very specific, tangible way that we want you to be part of what we're doing offensively. And I think they're trying to do that in their own way by making sure the ball is moving and that it at some point moves into Rob's hands. But Rob, to have such an incredible soft touch around the basket, you want to see him take more shots around the basket going forward. And it may not happen this season. It may not happen next year. But the natural transgression to the guy who has no ceiling is to get more post-ups and to do more things around the basket other than catch lobs. And he's great at that. But Rob has the potential to be great at a lot of other things. He just needs to start moving in that direction and not just kind of going with the flow.
Right. But when this team is told to take, 43 pointers a game, there's a lot less opportunities for him. So I'm not saying change your entire offense around and play the game through Rob, but I think that there's a little bit more they can do to get him involved. Like you just said, Sherrod, and in Detroit, they made a point to get their big man involved early on. Maybe that gets him into a little bit of a groove. Maybe he gets a little, maybe that's what the confidence that Rob needs is to be actually looked at and looked upon to say, hey, we want you to score right now on the block. Do your thing. If you miss, you miss. You're still our guy. We're going to look for you again later on in the game. Instead of, like you said, he's just a guy that cleans up the mess or creates second chance opportunities and blocks guys. And he had, I'm not saying he doesn't do his job well. It's just that if there is no ceiling, like everybody says, then maybe you guys should put your money where your mouth is a little bit and get him more involved. That's all.
Really great. Switching Thank gears you. Quickly. Switching gears just quickly off of Rob and Bobby's jumping in. I'm sure he'll have more follow on, just all of the gushing over Rob tonight. But a good Kyrie Irving quote tonight about the Celtics. It's clear as day that they want to win the championship and they're not wasting any time in the regular season. So tonight, I just felt like we were just one of those teams in the way. We've got to be one of those teams that stands nailed up it. To them.
Nailed it. Yep.
We're just roadkill.
That's
the gap now, guys.
Good quote.
Like a year ago, it was neck and neck, or you look out, they could knock you. Now that's what it is. You're just in the way.
Right.
Shout out to Kyrie. I like that. Give me more of that road brutal honesty. I love it.
We're just roadkill. Yeah. That's what he's saying.
And Celtics fans, they would respect that. Seriously,
I like him. I want him back. Wow. Let's bring him back.
Wow.
I like this new Kyrie.
Let's leave it at good quote. Real. We'll leave it at good quote.
Damn good
spoken
quote.
Spoken like a champion. He remembers those days. Damn. I like
not
that.
Much you can
spoken
say.
Spoken like a dude who just got
like
ran
this.
Over.
That too.
He delivered the quote like this.
That was the sound of a tool chest falling down the stairs.
Oh my goodness. You're right. I mean, if you've been one of those teams kind of in the Celtics, there's been a few teams that have felt that for sure. The have bore the full brunt of the Celtics.
It just needs to be
here
a little bit more consistent. That's all.
Sure, yeah, exactly. Let's bring in Bobby for the last 30 seconds of the show. Bobby, what's going on, buddy?
Thank you, Bobby. That's it for us tonight,
guys. All right, good night, Bobby. I want to thank our sponsors.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming out. Good night.
Friday. Take care.
Bobby's doing that thing with the teacher's like, you guys done?
I don't think Bobby knows that we're joking, or maybe he does.
He doesn't. I don't know. At some point, he might start talking.
I don't know. What are we talking about?
We're talking about Top Gun 2.
Are you Tom Cruise from Top Gun 2 tonight?
What you just got out of Tatum. There's a lot of Rob love going around, huh, Bobby?
Yeah, I think it's been said 3 or 4 times tonight, the unlimited ceiling with him. And this is right up our alley, John. We've talked about this more than anybody else in terms of him being aggressive on the offensive end, maybe lacking some of the tools he could have developed on that end this year, and of course the injury return, which is still a thing. Rob got asked about just managing these injuries and what the process is like on game nights of getting into the lineup and what questions are asking him throughout the flows of games, and of course the minute management, which of course is still present. sneaky effective 19 minutes. It felt like he actually went longer for how much he did tonight. He did a lot in a short time. Obviously, he had a couple baskets early, a block. And he said conditioning-wise, he's where he needs to be now. It was obviously a big challenge for him. But even with the recent ankle injury, it wasn't conditioning that limited him tonight. It's just the management they have him on. And he's still going with the flow with that. I think we all wish, and he wishes too, that he could play more. But at least
what I want to know more than anything, Bobby, is the conditioning was an issue, but the other is physical limitations, which is to say, is he limited at all? Or is he conserving himself? A lot of times I feel like he's choosing not to go all in on some stuff, selling out on blocks, getting up. You even see like dunk opportunities. He's like, I'll just lay it in. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're trying to save bullets for playing 25 and 30 minutes, but it does give the appearance of somebody who's less explosive. So I'm not sure if that's a thing or not, or the ankle knocked him back a little bit, or if he's feeling any pain or stiffness, or he's just simply saying, sometimes I just don't need to be jumping through the roof all the time. So I can just kind of keep it to myself and use those bursts when I need them, but I don't have to do it, you know, 50 times a game.
Well, he said he felt fine with the ankle by yesterday morning, so he knew he was going to play then tonight. So I don't think that was any issue tonight specifically, probably just a small tweak that they took a precautionary day off with. In terms of the energy conservation, one of my favorite anecdotes with him over the last couple of years, I think The Athletic wrote this, was when Al came back and in practice, he sees him dunking everything and just jumping through the roof, as you talk about. And Al actually told him then, you know, save some of those for the game. And I'm sure there's an element of him mentally trying to figure out that balance of, all right, do I burn all this out in the first 10 minutes? What plays do I need to use this burst on? And, you know, I think some of it's so natural to him that I don't think there's really much of a control there. You know what I mean? Like one of the alley-oops tonight, he almost just like reached up and got it. He didn't fly way above the rim. He's just up there. This is just who he is as a player. So I think a lot of it actually is just schematically fitting in with what they're doing. We talked about this, John. The offense is different this year, and he acknowledged that. Faster, different places on the floor he needs to be, all the spacing emphases that they have. He's not fitting in great with it right now. And Joe, I think, is really starting to realize they got to ramp him up in terms of his involvement in this. That, I know you probably were jumping out of your seat, John. That little jump hook he hit, it was like him and Hal were playing hot potato. And Hal was just like, take it. And he hit
dude,
the little short
you
jumper.
Do it. Right. Like, give it here. You're right there. You know, and then he did it. Yeah.
So much of it, I think, is a mindset, mental, and schematic thing with him. Like, he can fit into this offense. Their offense has been great with double big again tonight. So it's all about him finding the spots in it to score. And that was a big thing tonight, Joe said, is that he set such good screens that the Nets couldn't go under them. Like, they had to go over and attack them. And that's when he was able to slip and create the 2-on-1s and even get his own shots off a lot of times. So he was great tonight, I thought. Probably, is this his best game so far this season?
I don't know. I feel like there's been others, but still, it was good to see it.
Yeah, especially after an injury.
Offensively, probably it was his best game. I think we've seen him jumping around and blocking shots a lot more. And then again, Bobby, and I said this, I don't know if you're on the show, I want to see this Stallion in a game that actually is like a competitive game. You know, I want to see Rob's aggressiveness in situations where you actually need to be aggressive and where you actually do have to look for a shot. And where they have to actually look for him for a shot, because I feel like he's a zero part of the offense in any game that's a close game or any, you know, competitive game. So this is nice, and maybe it's good for his confidence, but I want to see it carry over into a game where they actually need him to score 16 points.
Yeah, I'd say so. And he needs to want the ball. There were times like baseline. He just passed up a ton of open space. And that's really the key for him, I think, is taking the open space that the defense gives him. He's always looking to pass. He doesn't look at the basket. I forget who said it a couple shows ago. One of you was like, just get in a scoring position. Yeah. Like, make yourself a threat out there.
Well, a week ago, he blew off a layup and just looking for passes. And it's like, there's no one in front of you. Just throw it down.
Yeah, and he said even tonight, he acknowledged it too. I got to be a bigger focal point offensively, especially when it comes to creation, but also scoring. Like, he can take the jump hook, and he said even, I can take the 15-footer. He hasn't this year. So I'm excited to see him start to put it in his head that this is my emphasis for the next couple of weeks here, is really getting my offense going, being aggressive on that end. And you know, he can hit free throws now, and it doesn't hurt to get him to the free throw line if he can. And we obviously know he's a great offensive rebounder. So it just kills me when he's standing out of bounds, John, like the couple of clips I sent a few games ago. Yeah. Not in a position to do anything except chase.
I think he's playing possum on those to sneak into the offensive glass. That's all. So he's just trying to get. He wants to be lost so no one can find him, put a body on him, and then he's trying to sneak in and crash. But being in bounds is really important.
Typically,
being involved in the offense. So right,
yeah.
That's like the first thing you have to do is actually be standing in play,
literally in the game.
Actually, the ball comes your way,
on the court. Yes,
and who knows? This might just be who he is, especially when it comes to being in and out of the lineup and not being able to work on your game when you're hurt and rehabbing all the time. All this stuff plays into it. I think Malcolm insinuated that in the locker room too when I was talking to him, that he's not physically in the place where he can show everything he's capable of right now. Malcolm said that, so I hope we don't look back and say what if. Because I think we all look at this point, and Jimmy and John were obviously very early on this, that this guy has potential to be so much more than he already is. And he already is great. But offensively, there's a higher ceiling. I'll never forget his guy, Ricky, telling me, like, we know offense is a work in progress with him. Like, there's a lot of stuff he can add to that end of the court. And, hopefully he's going to be healthy enough this summer where he could actually come back next year and just look. I know you talk about body transformation, John, but also skill transformation, just adding whole new layers to the game.
You're waiting for that one miracle offseason where he comes back and you're like,
Jimmy once again with KG. I wonder if KG talked to him, Jimmy.
That's what I said
don't think
earlier.
KG knows who he is, honestly.
It looks like KG and Pierce sat down with Tatum, Brown, and Smart. I don't know if Rob was in the building or what the situation was.
That was it. That was the inspiration, guys.
That would be a dream scenario. I want KG to lock himself in the gym with Rob Williams. I don't care if it's for an hour, a day, a week. I want Rob Williams to come out like he just, saw God or something like that. And I just want him to play possessed. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want the KG effect. Not just for Rob. I want the whole team to feel that way. And maybe that's part of the energy that shifted tonight that Jaylen Brown tweeted about. Maybe that energy that KG brought with him earlier this week. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot from that. I'm sure there's going to be – I know Showtime is a big part of the whole thing, so I'm sure we'll see it at some point. But
Does KG talk about – do any of you guys listen? Does he talk about Rob a lot?
No, I haven't seen much of content that's come out of that. Yeah. I think a lot of it's
I'm sure he admires Rob big time. There's similarities between those two guys defensively for sure. I mean, Rob is a legitimately defensive player of the year level guy. I thought before you got injured last year, he was in that position. And then he gets hurt and the narrative shifts and Smart kind of takes hold of the credit for the defensive season that the team had. But Smart to me was the best where I can come up with is floor. Like, he gave them that high, high floor, and then Rob shot them through the ceiling with the things he did defensively. And you're still waiting for that to come back too, right, Sherrod? Like, I don't think we've even seen defensively Rob be who he can be this year.
Well, there's no ceiling. What ceiling? What are you talking about? The building that is Rob Williams does not have a ceiling.
I love that. The ceiling is there's no ceiling.
I'm about to put that mixtape on. Bobby, we're going to listen to No Ceilings tonight. The Wayne Classic.
I love that we had a Rob night. It was overdue.
It was overdue. But Bobby, do you agree with me though that like they need to look for him like purposefully little bit more?
Yes. I think it's as much the creators on the team's fault. And Smart does a great job with it to just add another thing to the list that they missed with Smart. Guys don't see him, and there's also that thing of the hot potato where he's just tossing it back and forth between those guys. So it's a little bit of both. He needs to look to score when he's around the basket, and he finally did tonight. I'm just thrilled with what he showed tonight. You hope he can stack one on top of another, do it again against Phoenix. I think the best game of his career was against Phoenix last year on New Year's Eve. So it's a good matchup for him, it seems like. And, you know, continue to get more and more involved. I'm just thrilled, Jimmy, that the coach is finally emphasizing it. Joe said you could tell that, too.
That's true.
I think Joe said exactly Robert Williams is a huge key for us on offense.
I think that's the reason why you're seeing guys like Tatum and Brown look for him more often, especially in the situations where they're down low, they got the double team. You know, Rob's somewhere, you know, roaming around, and I think that's something they'll continue to do. The two go hand in hand. They really do. I don't think it's a matter of, you know, Rob calling for the ball, you know, ISO, everyone clear out. Like, no, that's not how it goes. I think it's finding Rob in the offense, incorporating him more often, and I think the more he gets his reps in, the better he'll be. I think that's going to be a big part of the offense moving forward.
He never makes bad decisions. So if you get him the ball, even if he passes out like we've seen him do a million times, it's probably going to be a good pass.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just get him his reps. Get him his reps. And I think that's something that's been an emphasis the past week or so. When he's available, obviously.
Right. You never look at Rob and say, "What are you doing?"
All right, guys.
Where's John at?
John just sent us a note. He forgot he had a pie in the oven that he needs to take out. He cannot come back to
early
the,
dismissal.
The show.
I love when shit goes down. He just leaves. shuts it down. He's like, I'm not gonna let you guys clown me. You're never gonna see him try to, you know, power through. He's like, nah, I'm shutting it down. You guys not gonna clown me.
He doesn't like struggle with it. Like, he doesn't go down.
Yeah, because nothing cracks him up more than see someone else, you know, frozen or like skipping. It's just like, oh no, I can't dare let myself look like this. I gotta cut myself off.
Look, don't get in your feelings, Brockton Wi-Fi. Don't get in your feelings. All right,
you know, I should just, you know, instead of trying to power through, guys, I think that should be the move. You know, just call it a night. All right.
Yeah, just fold early on.
Shout out to John.
Yeah, I mean that's John's story anyway. So John's done. I'm looking for the lower here, but I don't think I can find it here. Where are we for the game recap? But if we can't, oh, here we go. All right. That's going to do it for us, guys. We want to thank our sponsors once again, Athletic Greens. If you guys go over to athleticgreens.com/garden, and you will be hooked up with a 1-year supply of vitamin D, 5 free travel packs, a boatload of healthy things like probiotics, prebiotics, adaptogens, gut health, protein, the whole 9 yards. It fits every single diet that you could imagine, for the most part. Don't quote me on that. And it's just honestly good for your overall health. So we want to thank Athletic Greens. And I don't know, our friends Rocket, our guys at Rocket Money still involved? I think they are. So we'll give a shout out to Rocket Money.
Shout out Rocket Money
as usual. I think that's rocketmoney.com/garden as well. A great site that you guys can go to that's going to help you with all your subscriptions, especially guys like John Zanis, who claims to have thousands and thousands of dollars worth of monthly subscriptions that he's now able to save. Thank you to Rocket Money. And also, Rocket Money is just great for managing your financial situation. So new year, you're trying to get your finances right. Rocket Money is there to help you do that. Josue, I think you used them, or you've mentioned that them before, so that's pretty cool too.
Yes.
And with that being said, I want to thank the fellas at the TD Garden tonight who are holding it down. Anything that we should be on the lookout for from you guys this week? What do we got? Podcast articles, anything?
Yeah, trade deadlines coming. We'll probably have some guests on here, some spaces firing up. Get ready, because it's a week from tomorrow, believe it or not. That trade deadline's coming around. Shouldn't be an active time for the Celtics, but it's always good to toss around ideas and fire up the trade machine and see what else is happening around the league too, because I think some of the competitors like Milwaukee probably going to land a Jay Crowder. Miami's probably going to do something. Brooklyn looks like they need to do a little something, even though they're not super flexible. And it's always a surprise. Remember last year, Sabonis got traded for Haliburton, and no one saw that coming. So who knows what could happen?
Yeah, for sure. Subject Maxwell podcast, you already know, brand new episode this week. If you haven't checked it out, check out the latest on Causeway Street. We had Christian Arkin on.
Nice.
His debut of his brand new show on WEEI. Kind of gave us the story about
with Adam
the
Jones.
Breakup between 98.5 and Christian, and you don't want to miss it, guys. Check it out, Causeway Street.
Little media podcast. That's interesting. All right, guys.
Yeah, especially Boston sports fans. They want to know. They want to know the juice.
I wanted to. I could not end the show without saying one last thank you to the GOAT, Tom Brady, who has re-retired officially. I was not expecting that news this morning. It hurt. I'll be honest. I still think he's got more to give, but he's going out on his terms, which in the NFL is something that you always want to be able to say you can do. And he's the greatest of all time. I think that's not even obviously up for debate. So shout out Tom Brady. Sundays will never be the same. Oh, it pains me to say that, but it's true. But I think we're going to be seeing here in Tom still on the Fox broadcast. So all's not lost there. So
no, all is not lost. He got his new bag. He's good.
I don't feel bad for him.
I'm not feeling no sympathy for Tom Brady.
I don't feel bad for him. I feel bad for me because I appreciate Brady. Right.
Jimmy wants to watch the guy still play. Come on, man.
There's only a handful of athletes that come in and out of your life that are that once in a life. You've got Brady. You've got LeBron. You had Michael Jordan before LeBron or Kobe, if you want to go, if we're talking basketball. Bill who? Brasky?
Russell.
Oh, Bill Russell. Okay. Bill Russell. Yes. Well, that was before I was talking about.
I thought you were going to say Belichick. I'm like, what?
So. I thought he was going Belichick too. I was about to cancel him off.
You're about to go in, right? The court, Jimmy. How could you forget?
Yeah, but like the Ortiz. I'm talking like this day and age. Yeah. Anyways, guys, shout out Tom. Thank you. And we will see you guys all Friday against the Suns. So until then, deuces.